Man, I have to tell you this morning, I truly sense that God wants to speak to you and me this morning. Can you sense him? I mean, the scripture is true or it's not, and he says where two or more are gathered. I think we're more than two or more, right? He says there he is in the midst. So I am excited because I believe God wants to do something unique this morning in your life and in the life of our church. So I hope you're ready. Let me just say this from the get-go. You guys look good. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you look good. Don't lie, but just tell them, you look good, all right? All right? And I want you to turn to them again and say, I look good. You do. I got to tell you, you look fantastic. Karen and I were out last week. Didn't Pastor Jared do a fantastic job last week? Man, I'm so proud of our team of pastors and teaching pastors, and we're blessed here at the church. The elders have said on occasion that Karen and I can go and visit other churches and kind of observe what they're doing and maybe learn and glean some things that maybe we can do better. Can I just tell you, we were sitting in the service, and probably midway of the service, and I leaned over to Karen and I said, man, I miss my home. You know what, Connect, there's not another church in this area has anything on us. I mean, God is doing great things here, and we are blessed to see that God is moving. And so, thank God we have a place called Connect Church. You know, our series has got growth. Do you? See, here's the deal. I wonder in my mind kind of goes different ways, a lot of different ways, but as I was sitting in my office, I wondered, I would so love to be able to do a genuine survey. By the way, we're not going to do that. And see where the majority of us that call Connect home are. Which pot are we? Which pot are you? Where are you on the growth continuum? If we were to take that, and we were all honest, that's why I'd love to figure out something where they could check brain waves and heart waves, so somehow that it could flash up and we'd see. But I think if that survey were to become a reality, I really believe that it would be an eye-opening and very humbling survey. Don't you agree? I think it would highlight some things in our lives that need growth. Everyone here, every one of us need growth. See, saying yes to Jesus is just the starting point. It is not the stunting point. Many of us, and perhaps most of us, maybe not all of us, have said yes to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit touched our hearts. We recognized that we were had missed the mark. We recognized that we were separated from God. And the Holy Spirit says, I love you. And the Father wants to have a relationship with you. And he introduces us to Jesus Christ. And we say yes. The problem is that so many people, after they've said yes, stop. They stop growing. In this series, if you're coming to us the first time today, we're in this series called Got Growth because we desperately want you and us to grow spiritually. We don't want to be the same next week as we were this week. We don't want to be the same this time next year as we were this year. We want God to grow in us, and we spiritually grow together and strengthen and edify and glorify the church, but also the name of Jesus Christ. That as we grow, we begin to move forward, not backwards. And so far, we've kind of given you really the progressive steps of growth. The very first foundation. Someone here today doesn't yet know Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of that. The Holy Spirit just impressed that upon my heart this morning. For that person or persons, God is going to speak to you today. I believe that with all my heart. He has sent His Holy Spirit. He's here. He's going to meet you right where you're at. He's going to speak to you and highlight to the fact that you know of Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. And in a few minutes at the end of the message, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a stand and say yes for Jesus. There are some others here this morning, you've said yes to Jesus, but as you view this video and as you've heard these messages, you are deep down inside realize that there's something missing. There's some steps that you've tried to miss. And so we've been trying to help you do that, to grow. We want you, number one, to get to know God. Number two, get into His Word. Getting into the Bible and learning about the Bible helps us know His character, helps us know who God is. And we see His history. We see His movement from Genesis all the way through Revelation. You got to get to know God. But one of the best ways you can do that is to get into His Word and read how good, how great, how magnificent, how awesome, how glorious is our God. The next step is, okay, so we know God and we're getting to know Him. We need to learn to commit to Him. So the third step is getting real in prayer. I'm talking about talking to our Creator. We, as believers, have that privilege. There is an open communication line when it's not blocked by sin, unconfessed sin, where we can communicate with the Creator of the universe, with the God who loved us so much that He sent His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can open up the phone lines directly and talk to our God. Last week, we talked about being in prayer. And last week, Pastor Jared talked to us about being in community. Community is a place where we can grow together and grow together. It's a place where we can get to know others and others to get to know us and begin to support us when we go through those times, whether good or bad. They can rejoice in the good times and they can mourn and grieve in the bad times. We need community. I need you and you need me. We need one another. We need those people that can hold our arms up and carry us and encourage us to go further than we thought we could ever go. So today is step five. Step five is perhaps the most feared and the least practiced of all the steps. It's the most misunderstood and it's the most neglected step that most believers try to skip over and then wonder why they're not experiencing the Bible. To some of you today, the Bible stories are once upon a time like fairy tales. That was good back then, but where is it now? Could it be because we've missed the step? And this morning, I want to share with you this step that will transform this church. The step that will transform you as an individual if you will be bold enough and trust God enough to take this step. Are you ready to learn what this step is? Then open your Bibles. Open your Bibles or your Bibles app to Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20. And then, you know, there's a little thing in your Bible that you probably don't know why it's there. Put it right there and then flip over to Acts chapter 1:8. We're going to kind of talk about both of those. You see, growing spiritually means that we must take the steps necessary. It doesn't just happen. There has to be some things that God expects from us. You know, I was thinking about this message, and it just constantly just, I'm reminded of this more often than not, is that, you know, when great things happen in my life, I love to share those things. When great things happen in the life of my friends, I have no problem passing that on. I'll give you an example. You know, when my son and his wife got engaged to be married, or my daughter and her husband got engaged to be married, I didn't keep that to myself. I shouted it, "Hey, they're out the house." No, I mean, they're getting married. You know, I was so excited that they had found someone to do life with. Recently, our oldest daughter just changed jobs, and it's exciting to me because she got a job at Papa Steakhouse. Now, the only reason I'm excited about that, I'm excited for her because it's a great opportunity. I'm excited for me because hopefully I'll get 50% off. I have no problem talking about the great things that are happening in my life or happening in the lives of those that I care about and my closest friends. I'll shout that from the mountaintop. We love to share great news, don't we? We all do. You all have these things that have happened in your life that you can't wait to share. There's no prodding necessary. In fact, here's what I want you to do. Just real quick, about 30 seconds, you're going to turn to someone and you're going to tell them not the good things that's happened in your life, but at least one great thing that happened in your life in the last 12 months. Are you ready? Go. Come on, some of you are silent. I know my God. He doesn't withhold His blessings for a year.
Come on now.
All right. Hey, none of you have problems sharing that, right? I got to just tell you this morning, I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm wound up. So you just better, you know, I may throw a hip out or something up here. I am excited because this is one of the most exciting growth steps that you can ever experience, is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with someone else. There is nothing that matches it in the growth step. None of us have a problem. So let me ask you a question, and I don't want you to answer this out loud, but I do want you to answer this individually. When is the last time that you personally shared the good news, that's called the gospel, of Jesus with anyone? When it kind of follows another question. Have you ever shared Jesus with anyone? Now, I'm not talking about sharing about the great dynamic worship that we have. That's great. I'm not talking about, hey, you got to come to Connect, and man, our pastor team, man, they are awesome. We like to hear that now and then, so I had to say it myself. So I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the greatest news that has ever happened. When is the last time, or have you shared, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived as a man, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, paying a debt we could not recover, was buried, and on the third day rose again, and he loves you so much he wants to have give you life eternally? When's the last time, or have you ever shared that? See, if we don't do that, we miss out on one of the most magnificent steps and privileges and responsibility that God has given us. You know, we'll tell everything else. Some of you probably told about weddings and announcements of birth, or promotions, or you got a new car. We have no problem sharing those things. They just naturally come out. But friends, something supernatural has happened to us, and it's got to come out. And when it comes out, and when we share, I'll never forget the first person that I can recall leading to Jesus Christ. And it's my wife. I'll never forget that opportunity that God gave me, and I was scared to death. And we were on the road back from Midland, Texas. We'd gone out to Midland, Texas, and my cousin lived out there, and he had come to Germany, and Karen met him, and Karen didn't know how big Texas was, so we fly into DFW. We're staying at my mom's house, and she said, "Let's go see Ronnie." I said, "He lives in Midland." That is a long drive from Weatherford. So we get in the car and drive 6 hours to Midland, Texas. My cousin, who loves Jesus so dramatically, can't help but talk about Jesus. We're there 2 hours, and he starts talking about Jesus to my wife and to me, and he started sharing the gospel and that story of Jesus Christ. And he looked at Karen and he said, "Karen, if you don't fall in love with Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with him," and he said the words, he said, "you're going to a place that God didn't create for you, and it's called hell." And Karen goes, "We're out of here." She got angry, because what she heard was Ronnie was telling her that she's a bad person. 6 hours. We hadn't even got settled in and got rid of the road feelings, you know, and hearing the road noise, and she says, "We're out of here." Wisest thing I ever did, guys, was say, "Yes, dear." We got in the car, and man, I'm not saying a word, but she's saying a lot. She is asking all kinds of questions. "Who do you think he think he is, telling me I'm not a good person?" And then the Holy Spirit, oh, he's so good. He shows up in the car on the road. We decided we'd go see my aunt and uncle in San Angelo, and we're driving. She starts asking questions, then serious questions about what I believe, and you know, I'd failed her in that from the beginning, and so I just began to share. And there on the road from Midland, halfway between Midland and San Angelo, there came such a thunderstorm and a rainstorm. I'm talking about one of those gully washers, what we'd call it. I couldn't drive. I had to pull over, and there on the side of that road, I introduced my wife to Jesus, and she said yes to him. And can I tell you, it transformed not only her life, it transformed my life. Because when you share, people need to know that Jesus loves them. They need to know that Jesus, in spite of their sins, in spite of him knowing everything about them, he still cares and loves for them and wishes to spend time with them, actually wishes to spend forever with them. It changed me forever, and it will change you forever.
So this morning, I just want to kind of quickly walk you through several things about sharing that you and I need to understand. So first, let's talk about the subject of sharing. The subject of sharing. Matthew 28 says this, "Go, therefore." Now, he just backed that up before that. When you see therefore, you got to go back and see what it's there for. He had just said, "All power has been given to me. I got the power." Kind of reminds me of Psalm. Jesus said, "I got the power, and because I got the power, you go. You go, and not just go." He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Friends, can I just tell you, you can't make disciples of all nations without sharing Jesus. Our goal here at church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, who love people, and impact the world. That happens because people share the gospel. Church won't change you. I got to tell you, it may make you hate church. Church will mess you up. Jesus will clean you up. Big difference in the story, amen? And we see here that he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Sharing, the first thing I want you to understand, for a follower of Jesus Christ, in order to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus, and to grow, to be more like Jesus, sharing is a command. It is not an option. Sharing is a command. Sharing is not an option. We see it reiterated again after Jesus ascended into heaven, and we see that there they were. That was the last time the disciples had seen him for a while, and he ascended into heaven. But before he did, he shared with them Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But you will," I love that, underline in your Bible or highlight in your Bible apps, "will." You will be my, will receive power with the Holy Spirit. Remember what Matthew 18 says, the 28 says, I'm going to give you, I've got the power. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And somehow we have confused going and being his witness as sending teams out. That's part of it. But listen, God changed you for you to go out and for me to go out. And as Matthew 28 actually means as you are going. As you are going, God brings people along our path every day. Every single day where you can have a gospel conversation with someone. The reality is we know we need to do it, but we ignore that we need to do it. We know we need to do it, but we don't grow when we don't do it. And see, if we are not activating and sharing our faith, we're fossilizing our faith. You ever seen a fossil? And their church is full of people who have a fossilized faith and not a full faith. Can I just tell you, there's nothing quite like being used by God to lead someone else into his kingdom. It will transform you. You will never be the same. I like humor, you know that, and God has often over and over in time used humor where God has given me opportunity. I've shared this before, a man I shared the gospel with, but it started with, we'd gone to visit, and he said, "Man, am I going to hell because I smoke cigarettes?" And my humor took over, and I said, "No, it'll just smell like you've been there." And I said, "But seriously," and I entered into, I didn't waver, and I went into that conversation. That man came to know Christ. I can't tell you how many people that you just have that conversation, and I said, "This is my story. Does that make sense to you? Would you like to have something like that?" It doesn't have to be this great conversation, but we're going to talk about that. Sharing is a command. It is not an option. But I want to talk to you about what I call the sins of sharing. The sins of sharing. Number one, the sin of self. The sin of self. Those who are focused more on themselves than the Savior don't share. Think about it. I can't share because maybe they'll look bad at me. See, sharing is not about us. Sharing about what
You know, when I look at that cross, I praise God every time, because you know what? There ain't, Jesus doesn't hang on that cross. I've been to the tomb, supposed tomb. You know what? Jesus isn't in that tomb. This is about pointing others to Him. It has nothing to do with focus on me. The sin of self. And those who are focused more on self than the Savior don't share the Savior. Let me ask you, going back to step number one, do you know God? Do you know Jesus personally? Does the Holy Spirit reside in you? Because if He does not, one of the ways is a checklist for that is, are you sharing? Friends, how can we not share our story? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame, but now I walk. I was losing, but now I have victory in Christ Jesus. How can we not share that if we actually know Jesus? So the sin of self, but there's also one called the sin, what I believe referred to as the sin of silence. I got mine, you get yours. I got mine, you get yours. That's like finding a water hole in the desert and getting your full when there's people starving and dying of thirst and you not being willing to share where there's water, living water. The illustration, as you know, if you've seen the social media or some of the emails that have gone out, we're going back to Israel in January of next year. And if you want to go, see me or Pastor Aleem. But I just want to tell you, there's some images that I can never put out of my mind. And one of them is the Dead Sea. I know several of you have already gone. I was looking at pictures, Terry, and I saw you floating in the grin on your face, floating in the Dead Sea. Because you can't sink. There's no life in that sea. All that has done, when all this water that comes in, it has no outlet, so it becomes dead. And all it's full of is this salt minerals, and it floats. Many of us are just like that. We want everything. We want it all to flow in us, but we're afraid to let it flow out of us, and we wonder why we're dead inside. All we're doing is floating, just getting by. See, we can't misunderstand this. The result of only receiving and never sharing is always dying. You're not going to move forward in your faith if you're not willing to share your faith. Can't happen. Sin of silence. And I would just encourage us here at Connect Church that we not be the kind of Christians that in saying nothing and remaining silent, we're telling those around us, you go to hell. Because that is in effect exactly what we're doing with the sin of silence. We have the answer to the greatest thing that is available to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Paul says, how will they know unless we share, unless they hear? And how will they hear if we don't share? We can't afford to be that kind of individual or that kind of church. Can you imagine? Oh, I'll get to that in a bit. What would happen if every person shared Jesus in this church? The sin of silence. Now, I may get in trouble here, and that's okay. I'm used to it. The third sin I would call is the sin of souring. Sit, soak, and sour. You might call it the sin of negativity. This sin is kind of the symptoms come out in the way we act and the way that we talk. We all know that sign that says actions speak louder than words. And I'm going to get on my sawhorse here, my platform here, and then we'll get off of it real quick. You guys know that I don't like to talk politics. But I am burdened when we talk more about what's going on in a negative way than we do talking about Jesus in a positive way. When we spend more time tweeting and Facebooking and talking, I was at a restaurant yesterday with my mom and I heard these gentlemen and the negativity that was pouring out of those gentlemen. Now, if I'm a non-believer and I know that that person is a believer, I don't want anything to do with that. God is the judger of hearts, not ours. Our job as believers is to share Jesus Christ. He is the good news. There's a lot of bad news.
We can infect people with negativity by being those who sin by souring others. We're always finding the negative stuff. Man, what would happen if we begin to talk about the stuff that's awesome, about what's available to those in Christ Jesus? What if our Facebooks and our Instagrams and our Twitter accounts were flooded with the greatness and the blessings of God, and the rest of that stuff, you know what? God's got this. There's nothing that happens outside the allowance of God. Now, there's some things that I don't agree with, but hey, here, check this out. I'm not God, and neither are you. But God's got this, and nothing happens outside the allowance of God. And what he tells us, and I'm going to get off the sawhorse here, what he tells us to do is to speak only those things that edify, that encourage and lift up others. He tells us to pray for those that he's placed in power. Remember, nothing happens outside the allowance. That's our job. Our job is to point people. I wish we were more propagators of the kingdom than we were of the government. I'll get off now. But I believe that's a sin. Why? You've heard it before. If that's how Christians act, I don't want anything to do with that. What would happen if you and I begin to start acting like, walking like, talking like, and really behaving like Jesus Christ? And start talking to them about the Father. He prayed for you and me in John 17. He says, God, make them one as I am one. We're so busy causing disunity when all we have to do is share the gospel and the good news of Jesus, who then unifies and reconciles. But so many of us we're just so afraid to share Jesus that we just slip back into the old patterns and give our opinion. I'll tell you this and admit this and confess this to you. My opinion matters not. God's opinion matters much. What does God want me to do? What has God called us to do? He says, come out and act different than everybody else. He says, come out and be ye separate. That's good King James, and that's good theology. Come out and be separate. So we emphasize all this negativity stuff instead of the positive, and it sours us, it sours others, and it negates the gospel in the lives of others who are seeking to find answers. Obviously, people are trying to find answers to life's questions. So here's the question. Does your life, do your words, do all your accounts, do they cause an appetite for Jesus, or do they make people sick to their stomach? I told you this was going to be tough. But friends, if we don't get this right, if there's not new birth that's occurring, we're already dying. We're already fossilizing. I don't know if you can see this. I have dinosaurs. I didn't even think about this right now. I have dinosaurs on my shirt. Man, what a spiritual correlation that is. Amen. I don't want to fossilize. Do you? So we've got to get these growth in our life. And so the fourth sin is the sin of skirting. Skirting around the issue. Oh, I'm afraid of being rejected. Okay, listen to this. John chapter 15, 20 says, remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. See, here we're talking about there's sharing going on. There's an expectation that we're going to share, and not everybody's going to say yes. Oh, but the ones that do say yes. Well, I'm afraid of what my friends might think. I'm afraid to share with my coworkers. This skirting around it. I love what Francis of Assisi said. He says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. What if our lives reflected that 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give the hope that lies within you. Man, people are saying, what is so different about you? How can you be calm in all this mess? Guess what? That's an invitation. It's an open door to say, let me share with you why. And we share the only thing that's good about us at all, and that's Jesus Christ. There's nothing good in us, the Bible says. Not one righteous thing. I am a filthy rag that deserves to be thrown away. But Jesus, through the power of his blood, washed my sins as white as snow. And he's reconciled me to the Father. And guess what? I am now an ambassador for Christ. And I am to be sharing what the Father wants me to share. And all he wants us to share is about his son, Jesus Christ, and the possibility of being reconnected to our Creator.
Man, you want to know how to know. I just don't know enough. I don't know enough. I don't know how. Study 2 Timothy 2:15. Start studying the Word. Remember, that's step two in the growth process. You don't know how? Start studying. Start looking at examples. This is our field manual. This is the how-to. I got a crock pot this week. I thought I was doing great, man. I have never used a crock pot. I got a digital one. Man, I just poured the ingredients in, but I still had to read the field manual, if you will, the instruction manual, which guys don't like to do. But can I tell you, man, that chicken tortilla soup was amazing when you follow the book. And when you follow the book, your life will be amazing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. First thing I did is said, Karen, taste this. She said, oh, that's good. You know what? When we start telling people about Jesus, they're like, wow, I can have that too? And your growth begins to continue. Some of us need to stop sitting around too long with what we do know. And when we do that, if we're just sitting around and gathering knowledge, that Dead Sea stuff, it's time to stop being spiritually constipated and let it go. That's not the greatest image, but it is a pretty good image. See, sometimes I heard Brother David say, Pastor David said, God squeeze it out of him. Sometimes that may not be a great request. Because when we're squeezed, sometimes something other than Jesus comes out of us that ought not to be in us. You see, God's got to do that work, step 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then as we begin to share, we just need to let go of the information that God has given us, or we're a fossilized faith something another. Well, I'm afraid I'll damage my close relationships. Friends, let me tell you a truth here that you need to know, and I don't even have any idea what time it is yet. You will never find a person that says yes to Jesus that will be mad at you for sharing Jesus with him. If they say yes, they will never be mad at you. You will be endeared to them all of their life. I still to this day know who first told me about Jesus. And I love her for it. Yes, others may not accept. But the question is, are you going to follow your fear, or are you going to follow the Father? Here, listen to what he says. And I didn't write this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, which now down generationally, it's us. He says, the person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Friends, we got to be willing to trust God instead of ourselves. Because I know that there's probably everyone here has a loved one you would love to see come to Jesus Christ. Amen? Can I get a witness to that? There's a friend or a family member you would love to share or see them come to know Christ. How will they hear unless you share? We're just kind of hoping somebody will come by. Could it be that somebody is you? Sure it is. Sure it is. And they say, well, yeah, but you know, they know me. That's why it's such a miracle. Anybody knows me know that God is a miracle worker. All the stuff that I've done, all the things that I've said, all the places I've gone, and yet God still chose to make me a herald of the unchanging, saving gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid because I don't know. I'm just afraid. Well, all you got to do is share your story. You don't have to know all this theological stuff that you got to jump through this hoops and this formula. The formula that works is, what has Jesus done for you? Amen. How did he save you? How is he working in your life? You say, well, yeah, I don't know how to share it. So I'm going to give you some the first steps to getting ready to share. First of all, the steps of sharing. Contemplate what God has done for you. Spend time as a believer and going back and remembering what God did for you when he called you out of sin into salvation. How there was a barrier that you couldn't get over, and he closed that gap with his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And we are able to have one-on-one relationship with our Creator. Man, I start thinking about my past and see how God has miraculously grown me throughout the years. And my story is not like your story. Your story is not like mine. But every one of us, if you've said yes to Jesus, have a story. If you don't have a story, you probably don't have a Savior. So someone, as I mentioned before, God was pressing in my heart that there's some folks here today that don't have a story because they don't have a Savior. And the good news is this. Jesus wants to give and write His story in your life, your life, and your life, and your life. He wants to give you a story that you can share that's real, authentic. Guess what? Nobody can challenge my testimony because it happened to me. Contemplate what God has done for you. And for sake of time this morning, I'm going to challenge you to do something this week. Go back home and this week to help you contemplate what God has done for you. Not for the church, not for anybody, for you personally. Go back and read the 23rd Psalms. Friends, we read that at funerals. I've preached it multiple times at funerals. But that's about death. Go back and read it with life in mind. Go back and read it for what God has done. And I just want to kind of do some inflection. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack of anything. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right path for His name's sake. For even when I go through the darkest of valleys, I fear no danger. Why? Because God, You're with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me and in the presence of my enemies. Yes, you're going to have enemies, but God's got this. He says, You anoint my head with oil. God, You do that for me. And my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me because of Jesus all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And when you say yes to Jesus, you will live with Him now. And you will live with Him eternity. And you will experience the growth and the fullness of Jesus Christ as it was intended. Man, go back and just contemplate that this week. And contemplate what God has done for you. Friends, when you start contemplating what God has done for you and the greatness and awesomeness and magnificence of God, how can you not help share that with others? Because we sure do it when we get a new car, a new house, or, you know, a new hairdo, any of that kind of stuff. But here's the truth. You will never be able to share the gospel effectively if you have not experienced the gospel personally. You, the ones who I'm talking to, and I don't know who you are, but God does, and you know. If you haven't said yes to Jesus Christ, I am begging you right now, in just a few minutes, say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. Don't ignore that spirit movement inside, that little voice that may seem loud right now because your heart's pounding, you know that's you. Number two in steps of sharing is care enough about others to share. Do you really love people? If you have Jesus in you, you do. Because you want to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus. Care enough about others. I hope we, when we get saved and Jesus has done all this thing in our life, I hope we get the same spirit and the same brokenheartedness for the lost that Jesus did. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42. And those of us, every group that we take to Israel stands on the Mount of Olives, and you oversee this magnificent city of Jerusalem. And the scripture says, as he approached and saw the city, he wept over it. It broke his heart. If you knew this day what would bring peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. If we begin to look at the person next to us and know that Jesus gave his life for them, and if they would just be able to open their eyes, and we do this, they're not going to be able to open their eyes if we don't open our mouths. Growth step number five is a huge step for in our spiritual growth, but also in the birth of others. And consider all your opportunities to share. Here's a secret. You don't have to create opportunities. God does. God does. Somebody at work, somebody next door, somebody in the grocery store. I still remember the story of Pudi when she was in the Walmart, and God told her to go over the next row, and she didn't know this lady. The lady didn't know her, and God just pressed upon Pudi's heart, and I just get goosebumps every time I think about it. because she was faithful, and because she knows God, she knows His Word, and she prays to God, and she's in community, and she shares her faith regularly. She listened to God, and she went next door to that or next aisle over to a lady that she did not know, and she said, "Jesus told me to come and talk to you," and she was able to lead that lady to Christ. God creates the opportunities. All we've got to do is open our eyes to them. Man, school, work, man, you name it, play. There's always someone out there that God brings across our path. And it's so simple to say, just kind of gauge the conversation. He'll open it for us. And then the fourth step is start sharing. It's one thing to know that we need to do it. It's another thing to do it. Don't believe me? Talk about our diets. We know we need to do it, but we don't want to do it. Finally, what's the significance of sharing? Number one, God will be glorified. God will be honored. God will be proud of you. Man, when we point people to Jesus and telling them about the story of God and how He provided for us through Jesus Christ and how He still provides for us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, there's something about this bringing glory to God, that God is glorified and magnified. John 15 says it this way, and I think it's on the screen, but I'll just kind of translate it. He says, "This is how you glorify my Father. You bear much fruit." Well, what is that fruit? Fruit that will last. It's sharing the gospel. The only thing that lasts is what's going to go into eternity. Amen? And that's how God is glorified, when we begin to share our faith with others, the good news of Jesus. Secondly, you will be energized. Man, we used to have these things. Steve will attest to this. We'd go out and we'd go on these, we call them Andrew groups. You know, Andrew was the one that said, "Hey, come and see. And we'd go out and we just had multiple opportunities to lead people to Christ. Man, we'd get back to the church and discuss, and it's like, "Woo, yeah, you know what happened tonight? The heavens exploded with applause because someone accepted Jesus Christ." Man, you want to talk about some energized people? Was that room when people came to Christ? They might not have been the people we witnessed to, but someone, man, I'm telling you what, we broke out in glory because we were energized when our God was glorified and He was magnified through our lives. Man, it gets exciting. You want to know, and again, I don't have time for it right now, but man, go back to, you want to talk about boldness that comes on you. You can't wait to go do it again. Go back and study Peter's speech in Acts chapter 2. Man, here was a guy that was a fisherman, not educated. He was a man of the fields and of the sea. He was, you know, in his former life, he caught fish and he cleaned fish, and you know how all that entails. And yet we see him here talking to these religious people and sharing. And I mean, he got bolder as he went along. You want something to read this week? Go read Acts chapter 2. And finally, God will be glorified. You will be energized. And others will be reconciled to God. Someone will say yes if you will say yes and start sharing. All right. Woo! So what? What happens if Connect starts sharing? Listen, there's only two kinds of people. Only two. Those who acknowledge the gospel with their head, and those who activate the gospel because of their heart. Only two kinds of people. Which one are you? The reality is this. You're either going to be a fisherman. Matthew 4:19 says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Or you're going to be a Pharisee. Fisherman or Pharisee? Jesus referred to the Pharisees and said, "Man, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're rotten. You're dirty." Fisherman or Pharisee? Followers of Jesus are fishers of men. Pharisees are satisfied to be keepers of the aquarium. Which one are you? So in closing, I want you to imagine now what. Just close your eyes for a second. I want you to dream with me a little bit. Can you imagine with me for just a moment if everyone sitting in this room right now would begin sharing Jesus Christ. And people started saying yes. And people started getting baptized. Families started getting reconciled. People being blessed. Can you imagine what would happen if you did that, if we did that? For one, we'd have to come up with a new Sunday morning plan. It'd be for sure standing room only, probably going to a second service, which really I'm not concerned about the numbers anymore. I really am not. I'm concerned about spiritual growth because, see, if you grow spiritually, growth will come naturally. God will grow our church if God's people are found trustworthy. What would happen if everyone who calls himself a Christian and everyone who calls Connect their home would get to know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a personal way? That they would begin to spend quality time in their Bible, reading the manual that helps us do what we're supposed to do. They would spend time in more than just an afterthought prayer and spending time talking to God. Getting a community where we can ask questions, where God has added to the church teachers and equippers that can answer your questions, and you can grapple with those together and find out best practices and how do we do this and what does this mean? Can you imagine if people here were in community and then they began to start sharing and then we would start different life groups and small groups and the excitement that would be in this place? You know, new believers are the most excited people. Most excited Christians. They just can't believe that Jesus would love them that much. They just can't believe how excited they are to have that sin that was weighing them down so much lifted off of their shoulders. They've been set free. They're so energetic, and they have no problem sharing with anybody. And then we get spiritually moldy. Old. We don't water ourselves. We don't feed ourselves anymore. We simply show up once a week and then live our lives like we want to in the community. Let me say this and then we're going to pray. The growth of Connect Church will always reflect the growth of those who call Connect Church their home. So I've done my part today. I've done my part and shared with you the truth. What will you do with that truth? God, it's in Jesus' name, and we welcome the power and the presence of you, Holy Spirit, that we pray. That Father, you would have your will right here in this place. That right now there would be no distractions. There would be no barriers that would keep us from experiencing you this morning and hearing your voice. God, you'll never force us to do anything, but you invite passionately. And so, God, this morning, as I mentioned, I really believe you impressed upon my heart that there's at least one or more who don't yet know you. They just know of you. They know it, you know it, and you're calling to them lovingly. Come and see. Check it out. You can trust me. I love you. I love you so much that I gave up my best for you. And I want to embrace you with my love and my power and my strength and with my encouragement and my guidance. It's a personal invitation to you. Would you say yes to me? Come and see. Some of you need to come and see this morning. And if that's you, and you know it's you, just a minute, I'm going to ask some of our deacons and some of our elders to be standing down here at the front to accept you as you come. Brother Carl's going to lead us in a worship song, a response song. And the minute that we begin to start playing that song, I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus today. I want to encourage you to cast out all doubt and fear and come and say to that person, I want to say yes to Jesus today. And then come and just share, and they will share the simple gospel with you, that all you've got to do is admit your need for God.
Believe that He is the Son of God, that Jesus died in your place, that He was buried and resurrected and rose again on the third day. That you just simply believe that that's who He is, who you're not, who He is, and then commit your life to Him. Say, yes, yes, I want what they're talking about. Yes, I want that peace that passes all understanding. Yes, I want that joy in the midst of the trials. God, I want that calm in the midst of the storms. Yes, Jesus, I want what you have to offer me. They'll help you with that. But church, there's a lot of people sitting right here at this moment that have said yes to Jesus and have taken half-hearted steps towards growth. Your word, prayer, community, and sharing are afterthoughts. And wonder then why we're not growing. So I also know that there are people here this morning that God has already spoken to your heart. Because if God is in you, He's speaking to you. Every one of us, none of us get away from that this morning. And He's asking you to do something. Take a step of growth. And I'm going to encourage you. The minute Carl begins to sing and the first words are saying, that you would step out of your seats and come to this altar and begin to pray. Take someone by the hand. Bring someone with you and kneel and pray. And begin to pray for your life and for the life of our church, that we would become a church that shares the great gospel news of Jesus Christ. And watch what happens when you and we become faithful through sharing. Have your way now, God. In Jesus' name. We have elders and deacons. I ask you to come now, take your place, begin to just prepare your hearts to share Jesus with others. Again, I can only just say, I beg you, I encourage you, I invite you, if you don't know Jesus, today, say yes to Him. Come, take one of them by the hand and say yes to Jesus. We won't make it long, but we just want to let you know that we're in your corner. If you need to get right with God, although you've said yes to Jesus, come and get right with God. Do what God asks you to do, or you will miss out on the beauty of growth.